This is 89.1 WEMU, and I'm David Fair. Governor Gretchen Whitmer last night delivered her third State of the State address, but did so virtually from her Capitol office as we continue to deal with the pandemic. The governor said the state of our state is resilient. She went on to offer up a number of proposals while highlighting measures that have been passed in bipartisan fashion over the last year. The governor's agenda may, however, be difficult to get through the Republican-controlled state legislature. On the other end of the WEMU newsline today is 18th District State Senator Jeff Irwin of Ann Arbor, and thank you for making time today.
Good morning, David. Thanks for having me on.
Where did you watch the address last night? Were you home?
I was home, yeah. I watched it at my dining room table with my wife and enjoyed it at home. It was a weird setting, but I think that the governor did a really nice job of using the online format in the best way she could. You know, the address was shorter than it usually was, but I thought she did a good job of hitting on some of the high-level topics that absolutely needed to be hit on during this, you know, tough time.
Now, you're accustomed, formerly as a state representative, now state senator, being in chamber for the address. Did you like the virtual address as an alternative, or do you prefer being there in person?
Well, I prefer being there in person, even though it's a very crowded room. There's something exciting about that and being able to, you know, greet all the other folks on both sides of the aisle and to watch it in person. But like I said, I thought she did a really nice job of using the online format as best as it could be used. And, you know, I thought it was a great speech. And there was one part of it that really got me excited.
Which was?
On an issue we've been working on in my office since I got to Lansing, which is the way we treat our seniors and disabled residents who need personal caregivers. And the way that we compensate those personal caregivers is so pitiful that it's been very, very difficult for folks to find that kind of help, and especially to find quality, consistent help. One of the things we did during the pandemic is we used some federal money to temporarily increase the wages of those workers.
And now you're trying to make it permanent, right?
Yeah, now she's calling on the legislature to make it permanent. And this is something I've been working on since I got to Lansing. You know, I tried to get the wages of these workers up to $15 an hour back in 2019. And if we make this wage increase permanent, that's going to make a big difference for over a million seniors and disabled folks in our state who rely on that care, and tens of thousands of workers who do that work. And it's tough, intimate, difficult work for which the state pays rock-bottom rates.
As a Democrat, you obviously align well with most of the governor's messaging. Did you find any areas where you differ from the governor?
Well, I think the speech was, you know, maybe too short and too high level to find specific areas of disagreement. But, you know, I always tend to find more of those areas when we get into the details, right? I mean, she talked about some of the great programs that we've rolled out in a bipartisan way, like the Future for Frontliners program, like the Michigan Reconnect program, some great job training programs for essential workers and for people who are employed. She talked about some of the great bipartisan work that we've been doing on, you know, vaccine distribution, which you know, has been slow to start, which she acknowledged, but I liked her analogy to the locomotive, and, you know, I would like to remind everyone.
And which she said, you start off very slow, and you pick up steam, and it gets smoother.
Yeah, thanks for smoothing that out for me, David. But yeah, this vaccine piece is important, and obviously, you know, I have a lot of questions and frustrations with the speed at which that has been rolled out, and have been urging the governor's office to, you know, make sure that Washtenaw County gets you know, what we deserve here in our community, and make sure that, you know, people who are or elderly or at risk are able to get the vaccine sooner, you know. But, you know, her address wasn't able to get into all of those details. And so, you know, for the most part, I was excited with what I heard about education and vaccine delivery, and especially with, you know, some of these human service issues that we've been working on so hard.
It was important that she highlight some of the bipartisanship measures that have passed and have benefited the people of Michigan, because I still think the public perception is, as she noted, that the two parties cannot get along on any issue. So are you as positive about the prospect of bipartisanship in the year ahead, given the challenges that lay ahead?
I think that the governor is realistic about the opportunities for bipartisanship. And based on the last couple of years, I think it is almost certain that we will have some ugly, difficult political fights, but we'll also have some moments where we come together to do some important things for the people of Michigan. And I'm glad, actually, that the governor focused yesterday on that unity message and focused yesterday on the ways in which we have come together to do good things for the people of Michigan, because we need to do more of that. And I thought that it was particularly strong of her to do that yesterday, when in the legislature yesterday, the Republicans rejected a number of her appointments to important state agencies.
13 of them.
And they did so purely for political reasons, just to swipe at the governor, just to try to get her to change her mind on the pandemic response. And they even said this on the floor, that this is all an effort to try to get the governor to agree with them in their demands around pandemic response.
Not only that, but they threatened to withhold billions in K-12 funding if she doesn't fully lift COVID restrictions.
Yeah, and that was just in the Senate. On the House side, the House Republicans threatened to withhold $2 billion from K-12 schools if she doesn't, agree with them on the pandemic response. So in the wake of that, it was, I think, strong of the governor to stand up and focus on the ways in which we've come together to do good things, because that's what we should be doing in the legislature. And that's certainly what I said on the floor of the Senate yesterday, is that we have the power to pass bills to help our people in this chamber. Let's do that rather than swiping at the governor. One of the folks that they rejected yesterday is the person who would lead the Office of the Children's Ombudsman. This is a state agency that protects exploited children. And they're hobbling that agency in an effort to get additional leverage on a completely unrelated issue. I feel that that's very irresponsible. And I'm glad that the governor didn't take the bait and that she just focused on the message, which is, how can we do the best job of serving the people in Michigan? How can we get these vaccines distributed more fairly and more quickly? How can we get more resources to our schools so they can open more quickly and more safely? And how can we support our struggling workers, support our small businesses that are struggling at this time, and really provide the kind of aid that our people need, rather than get lost in these endless political fights in Lansing that serve no one?
So while there was political maneuvering in both the Senate and the House yesterday, it's not a great start towards working together and finding bipartisanship. Is there a compromise to be had there?
Like I said earlier, I think we will find lots of compromises. As the governor pointed out last night, we came together in a bipartisan way around some really innovative and important job training programs, the Future for.
But what I mean is, can we get past, can we get those people appointed, and can we ensure funding for K-12 education if she isn't willing to give up the administration's ability to issue emergency orders and lift COVID restrictions?
Yes, I think we'll get there. I think the Republicans are posturing, and even though I think that they've made a number of irresponsible moves like the ones they made yesterday, I don't see the end game for them on this. So I do think that we'll come together on that school funding eventually. And, just like we were able to finally come together on unemployment at the end of the year and extending that, I think that those issues will get worked out eventually. But it's no question in my mind that the Republicans in the legislature will take every opportunity to try to use these issues in any way that might help them next fall in the next election.
This is 89.1 WEMU. We're talking with State Senator Jeff Irwin of Ann Arbor. In addition to the COVID pandemic, we have the ongoing pandemic of systemic racism to eradicate. In your conversations with those on the other side of the aisle, where do you see the opportunity for progress to be made this year?
Well, I think that there are a few areas. One of the areas that we had a lot of bipartisan unity on last session was criminal justice reform.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that we can continue to drive forward on some of those opportunities, issues like ending cash bail. Those are the kinds of things where there's some bipartisan support. When it comes to police accountability, I think that there are some opportunities for bipartisan work around those issues and trying to make sure that, the licensing and regulatory bodies have more authority and that the training is improved to include more cultural competency elements and violence de-escalation emphasis. Those are all things we're working on, and I think that there are a lot of opportunities for bipartisan success in those areas. This is an issue that is contentious on the Senate floor, and Senate Democrats, myself, my colleagues continue to bring up the ways in which institutional racism are laid bare by this COVID-19 crisis and the ideas that we have about trying to address those needs. And so, I'm hopeful about what we can do for the next couple of years on these issues, but, I'm trying to be realistic as well.
The governor said, as I mentioned at the outset, the state of the state is resilient. How would you characterize the state of the state and the state of your district?
Well, that's a tough question, David, because this is a really tough time for so many people. So many people are are struggling financially, mentally and emotionally. You know, so many of us have, you know, been staying at home since, March of last year. And, you know, I think it's wearing thin on a tremendous number of people. So, you know, I do think that the state of our state is resilient, and I do think that Michigan is fighting back and is going to have, great years ahead of us. So I have no reticence in sharing the governor's confidence in that regard. But I do think it's important that, like the governor did at the beginning of her speech, we recognize the people who've lost their lives, the people who've lost loved ones, the people who've, lost their financial security as a result of this horrible pandemic.
I'd like to thank you for taking time and sharing your perspective with us today, Senator.
Oh, always my pleasure, David. Thanks for having me on.
That is 18th District State Senator Jeff Irwin of Ann Arbor on a Thursday post-State of the State address from Governor Gretchen Whitmer. I'm David Fair, and this is your community NPR station, 89.1 WEMU-FM and WEMU-HD1 Ypsilanti.